From Wageningen.
Wageningen.
From the Netherlands.
University from the Netherlands.
Yes. Hello. Let me start with saying that I'm actually quite pleased that there are still some people in the audience for the last presentation on an afternoon session in the last day of the conference. So thank you very much. My name is Mart. I'm from Wageningen, from the Netherlands, and I'd like to talk to you about phosphorus and earthworms. Do I have a mouse? Oh, I can just do it like this. So to start off with phosphorus, well, actually, I don't think I really need to tell you a lot about it because you're in a phosphorus session. So most of this will probably be familiar to you, but it's an essential plant nutrient. It's often a limiting factor for plant growth, and this is mainly because it's only there's only a minor portion that is available for plants to grow. This small pool is often governed by mineralization and adsorption and desorption processes. So if we take a closer look at different factors that are affecting phosphorus availability to plants, you can think about soil properties like metal oxides, pH, also soil organic matter, or physical properties like soil structure. But aside from that, there's also plant processes like the root uptake, morphology, mycorrhiza, or the presence of root exudates. And additionally, you can think of some soil microbial factors like the microbial activity and the phosphatase activity. Actually, many of these processes are also influenced by earthworms. So that's where the link comes from. And they do that in two ways mainly. They make burrows and they make casts. So at the top picture you can see earthworm casts, and at the bottom picture you can see the burrows. And I'll be mainly focusing in this talk on the casts, so on the top picture. So about phosphorus and earthworm casts, what do we already know? Well, a few decades ago, Sharpley and Sires, for example, already established that there are higher levels of plant available phosphorus in these earthworm casts. We also know that this effect of higher available phosphorus decreases over time as these casts grow older. So as they kind of get incorporated into the soil matrix again, this elevated level of phosphorus decreases again. We know that also earthworms can increase phosphatase activity. And last year we did a study in which we looked at different casts from different earthworm species, and we also saw that there was a difference between this elevated P effect for the different species. However, what do we not know yet? We don't know whether this increased availability of phosphorus can also lead to an increase in plant production or plant growth. And apart from that, we don't know what is actually driving what are the driving mechanisms behind this increased phosphorus availability. So we kind of set out to find answers to these two questions. And we started by doing a plant experiment in a greenhouse. So what we did is we sown annual ryegrass, Lolium multiflorum, on a poor non-calcareous sandy soil. It's very poor. You can see it in the table here, very low organic matter, as well as low numbers for the P analysis that we did, a low saturation coefficient for the reversibly bound phosphorus to metal oxides. And we had two treatments in this spot experiment. We had a fertilization treatment where we added phosphorus fertilization to half of the pots and did not add any in the other half. And, well, the presence of earthworms was also present or absent. And you can see in the picture what it looked like. So to go to the main results, these are the on the y-axis you can see the dry weight, and on the x-axis you can see the different treatments. And there's basically two things that you can see. First of all, when you add phosphorus fertilization, obviously the plants grow better. Other nutrients, by the way, were amply provided in this experiment. And the second thing is that at low phosphorus availability, you can definitely see an increase in when the earthworms are present. You say, oh, Mart, it's only a very small bit, but that's actually 10%. So that's, well, I think it's kind of significant. So then we started thinking, oh, can we relate this increase under this increase in biomass under P-deficient conditions, can we link that to the earthworms? So in the same experiment that I just described, we had a few additional pots with the same treatments, only with an increased earthworm density. And we included these pots solely for harvesting the earthworm casts, as you can see in these pictures below. So we put the earthworms in there, and we, well, after they got used to the situation, we got them out again, and we put them in these little cups to have them excrete the soil and the cast that was inside the worm. And then we analyzed these casts and compared these results with the similar analysis that we did on the bulk soil from the same pots. So we did water extracts, and we measured a whole lot of things. For example, total phosphorus, orthophosphate, pH, DUC, and a whole lot of other anions and cations. And you can see the main results here. First to the left graph, you can see the available orthophosphate in the bulk soil in the cast. And you see a massive, massive increase of available orthophosphate in the earthworm class. You can even see the bulk soil levels, which were very close to the detection limit. And on the right, you can see similar pattern for DUC. And this is kind of important because I will come back to this, but also for other characteristics and nutrients, we saw very big differences between the cast and the bulk soil. So we started asking ourselves what can possibly be driving these differences. You could think of the feeding behavior of the earthworm, because what they do is they ingest soil and they ingest plant material. So you could hypothesize that they kind of eat the rich part, the phosphorus rich part, and kind of accumulate the phosphorus in their casts. Another explanation could be increased mineralization, because they're known to enhance microbial activity. But we started looking at the effect of an increased pH, because we found very, very big difference in pH levels in the cast and in the bulk soil. It's more than 2 units, so that's quite significant. So we start to set out and see if this could be the explaining factor. So what we did is, we took the bulk soil samples, which were at pH 6, around pH 6, and we brought these samples up to a pH similar to the pH that we found in all the earthworm casts. So you can see here the two soil treatments with and without phosphorus, and you can indeed see that there's an increase in phosphorus availability. Mind you, that is a log scale. With an increase in pH. However, this was not nearly enough to explain the very high values that we found in the earthworm casts. So that could not solely have been the explanation. So the next thing we wanted to look at is that maybe desorption processes of phosphate from mineral oxide fractions could be a possible explanation. So this is actually something that we could model. If you see your water extracts, the water extracts that we did, as a system, you can distinguish an extraction solution, obviously, a soil face, an oxide surface, and then in between those two, a diffuse double layer in which all these adsorption and desorption processes take place. So this is, and you can see there that there's a phosphorus molecule, but also a humic acid molecule, which is way bigger. And so we can actually model this with a CD music model, which is it's a surface complexation model that is specifically designed to model this work. It's very nice because it has a kind of mechanistic approach. You can really estimate the situation quite well, and it's also applicable for a very wide range of different situations. It's a generic model. So what we wanted to do is see the interaction of the anions and the cations with the mineral oxide surfaces that were in our extraction, and then mainly focus on the competition effects between orthophosphate and DOC. So how did we do that? First, we had to put some input in the model. For example, we had to estimate a specific surface area for the oxide in our soil and in our cast. We had to estimate the oxide content from oxalate analysis that we did on these samples. And you can put in the pH. And like I mentioned, we already did a lot of measurements for anions and cations, so we could for every sample we could put the entire composition into the model, and then the model would calculate the amount of free phosphate. Then we wanted to see the interaction with DOC, and we did that in a way that we could alter the natural organic matter loading on the surface. So if you see the yellow surface over there, we could basically set and play around with how much of that surface is covered by DOC and thus unable for phosphorus to adsorb to. So the main results from that can be seen here. So in this graph, on the x-axis, you can see the observed values that we got for the free orthophosphate concentrations, and the y-axis, see the model output. So if we assumed that 10% of the sites were covered by natural organic matter, we could fairly well predict the soil samples. However, if we then use the same natural organic matter loading for the cast samples, we end up underestimating the available phosphorus concentration. So at that point, you can kind of play around with how much of the surface is covered, and we found that if we increase that level to about 60%, then we come very close to the observed values that we see. So with that, I would like to make a few conclusions. The first one is that, as you saw, earthworms can dramatically increase orthophosphate in the water extract of these casts, and this can actually lead to an increase in plant growth. And besides that, we think that these competition for adsorption sites between orthophosphate and DOC may be very important in explaining much of the variation in these enhanced phosphorus concentrations. So that was it. Thank you very much. And if there's questions, then we're happy to take them.
Do we have any questions? Go ahead.
Thank you for your questions. It really depends on the situation, of course. I've been listening to most of the talks given previously to this one, and you often see that in big or especially here in the US, there's a lot of trouble with phosphorus leaching or phosphorus removal. And yes, of course, if the phosphorus becomes available, then it can also leach out, because that's automatically what you will have. However, earthworms are usually when soil is very flooded, then usually earthworms do not do very well. So they're usually also draining the soil very well. So they're usually present when there's not a lot of water in the soil. So, and plus, these, we're talking about small hot spots in here, right? So it's all about whether the plant can kind of get to these little spots of increased phosphorus availability. So this is not a very large scale processes that we're seeing here.
Okay.
So I don't think that will be a very big problem. And as for your second question, as you already saw in the pot experiment, when we added phosphorus, you don't see an earthworm effect. So they're mainly useful, I think, or they can mainly contribute to increased phosphorus uptake when it's deficient. So when there's those conditions, they're usually not here in the U.S. in the from what I just saw, but in other places, I think it could be very useful.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, one more.
Is there any specific area where you collect this effluent? Would you like to
bought? Oh, actually, we bought them. These ones, as fish. There's a company that makes them as fish food. But yeah, well, you can find these. I'm not sure how it's here, but you can find them in the Netherlands. We used anisic earthworms, Lumbricus terrestris, which are quite big ones, and you can also distinguish all the earthworms according to ecological categories, and these are the ones that go up and down the soil, and they grab litter and incorporate it into the soil. But yeah, I think you can find them in many temperate zones. You can find these earthworms or earthworms like these, definitely.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Thank you.